Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're going to revisit our conversation with Carol Van Hove. She is the CEO of NC8, an ExploraMed company. She has a background as a leader in the pharmaceutical world, as well as medical device and consumer side of things. She is a corporate board member as well as a nonprofit board member. She's got some great insights that she shares around her career and lessons learned. Looking forward to today's conversation with Carol. First off, Carol, could you give us just a little bit of your background, a little bit of your career?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me, Mark. What a pleasure.
Absolutely.
So I'll start with the present. Today, I have the privilege of running a venture-backed clinical stage company that temporarily we call NC8, which simply stands for NewCo number 8, because we are the most recent spin-out of a very successful medical device incubator called ExploraMed. And so at NC8, we're focused on developing what I would say is a very smart solution for an issue that unfortunately many of us women have, which is cellulite. So we're very much a startup, size of 10 people, of which the majority are subject experts in engineering, clinical quality. So incredible brains with real entrepreneurial spirits. So I think that I'm truly living my best work life right now. And then aside from my job as CEO of NC8, I'm also executive chair of the board of directors of Sientra, which is a publicly traded medical aesthetics company. And then near and dear to my heart is I'm a proud board member also of an exceptional nonprofit that's called Mission Plasticos. So founded by a surgeon, and they essentially take a network of healthcare professionals around the world and give free reconstructive surgery to kids who really need it. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I'm a mom of three little girls. They're all under the age of 5. And I'm also wife to a fireman in Los Angeles. So that's the present.
Well, we always ask this question of pretty much every leader that comes on the podcast. If you were able to spin back time knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself, give a Carol at age 22?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so maybe a little bit about my background too, because I think it plays into the advice that I so much cherish today that I was given so many years ago. But as far as my career is concerned, it really wasn't ever a deliberate or a calculated roadmap, in the sense that I never sat down and mapped out the next move or the next title per se. Mm-hmm. It was more a series of serendipitous events. So really, as the cliche goes, right, being in the right place at the right time. But well, combined on my side with a curiosity for anything that was new and certainly high stake chances that were given to me by extraordinary people and mentors, including some of my board members today. So I actually ended up in healthcare by getting accepted into my first internship at the time, which was at a large PR firm in the city. And I was randomly assigned to their healthcare practice and to one of the managing partners who was running all of Johnson & Johnson's crisis management around the world. Mm. And for me, I thought this was a really strange appointment to begin with. I was a foreign student. My English vocabulary was far from good. I knew nothing about the U.S. healthcare system. And I still remember the day where I had to Google what the FDA stood for. So,
sure.
You know, I think for me, the MD who was overseeing that Johnson & Johnson account, she was known to be a great mentor, tough, but really progressive in people development. And I'm very fortunate that she saw something in me that was far from tested or validated. So, you know, that was a start of my career where I ended up staying in the U.S. and I never went back to my home country, which is Belgium. And so from there, I ended up, again, a fluid progression of being in the right place at the right time. I ended up at a company called Allergan, who was my first client. and they asked me to come in-house and sort of build the global corporate affairs function. And at Allergan, I ended up staying 20 years. So there I moved through a variety of commercial roles around the world. So any role really I could get my hands on, whether it was sales or marketing or customer service or even commercial excellence, because the culture was such that when you saw an issue or a gap, if you just raised your hand, regardless of your backgrounds, and you had good support, you could find yourself taking on new roles quicker than you could find them. And so that evolution in my career, it fit my DNA well, in a sense that I was never stifled by my background, because I always used to say that I was the most unqualified person for any job that I've ever taken. So I think that the what I really appreciated early on was that curiosity and natural instincts and the really sort of rolling up your sleeve approach and doing the work were good qualities to keep nourishing throughout my career. So that's maybe a little bit of my background, which, you know, if time permits, it really feeds into this question you just asked me about, you know, what's the advice if you could go back in time? And so maybe the first one I would say is building on that career in crisis management, I would say learn how to do a good diagnostic. So train to have a critical eye, not a lazy one. So what I know now is that if you really want to help build successful businesses, you need to try to assess what it's going to take and where the pitfalls are. And I found over the years that people who discuss strategy, many times they don't question what the strategy is intended to solve or if it will even solve it. So I would say that's sort of the first piece of advice if I was only 22 years old again.
Sure. Yeah. And as you think about, you know, there's always the advice that you wish you would have had, but is there any advice that you receive that you, looking back on, you think, I should have ignored that?
Yeah. So early in my career, I had a supervisor tell me that if I were to never lower my standards, I would face a lifetime of disappointment. And I appreciate that there's some truth behind that advice to this day. But I really believe that in giving every opportunity and every challenge, nothing but your very best is still the right path. So I hold myself to this. I hold the people that I work with to the standards. I do agree that maybe expecting everyone to be exceptional at everything is irrational. But today I really look at people's unique strengths. I look at their weaknesses now, including my own, and I look for the puzzles. So when you're entering into a new company or starting one or building new teams, I look for complementary traits. So exceptional skills and handicaps of each person that I think will beautifully fit together and that can give a company a real unique edge.
As you're thinking about the teams that you managed and looking back maybe at that first team that you were responsible for, and most of the time people aren't hiring their first team, they're inheriting a team that they're going to have to lead. What advice would you give yourself if you were thinking back again, what you know now of leading that first team, anything that would be helpful for somebody that's kind of moving into that first team leadership role?
Yeah. Again, great question. I would say, don't build a team without setting a vision and a culture for people to rally around, especially today, right? In this environment. Mm-hmm. Teams really do unite. They do their best work when we're all driven by a common purpose and in an environment that respects them. So I would say the first thing, if you can't set or see a vision and you don't know how to build a moral compass, make sure you learn how to do it, because otherwise you're just bound to disappoint your people. The other hiring advice as a leader is, I would say, hire fit for purpose. You know, I've learned to never scan a resume for just the evolution of titles and jobs. I look for a very particular trait that matches the one thing that I think it's going to take to win in that role that I'm hiring for. And then maybe the last piece, you know, advice for people building teams is never to criticize from the sidelines. I constantly ask how you can help, and you just got to get to work.
So as you're thinking about this time, you mentioned that, you know, we are in a unique time. Nobody's ever experienced something like this in our lifetime. Anything that you're doing with your group, you have an entrepreneurial setting and you're trying to accomplish things. Anything that you've done differently during this time that they think would be helpful for somebody that's leading?
Yeah, I would say the engagement, both formal and informal, is as strong as I think it's ever been in the way we work as a team. So we are very disciplined in using essentially video and sort of real, you know, personal time in all of our interactions. We use Microsoft Teams or we use Zoom or Ring Central, you name it. We really try to have all of our engagement face-to-face, which is very important. We also have built in sort of huddles where the whole purpose is just to let off some steam and just to connect on a more personal note. I think all of those little elements are playing into people just trying to find a better balance between the personal and professional challenges of today's environment. So I would say just keep the engagement high, do it both formally and informally, and use every tool to your disposal to make sure that you have constant interaction.
So as you're trying to, you know, keep people engaged, and are you all working virtually now, or are you at times able to work together?
Yes, we pretty much work virtual, with the exception that, you know, we have a lot of engineers that are building our device at the moment and doing lots of testing. And so we do have, obviously, individual members of our team who are spending more time in our lab. And so, but for the most part, we all work remotely.
Okay. So thinking about as far as kind of the overall keeping the team engaged and keeping them aligned during this time, are there some things that when you first started during this last 9 months that you wish you would have done differently, or have you been able just to kind of manage, you know, to keep everybody engaged during this time in our history?
Yeah, I don't think anybody could have predicted, right, how this would continue to evolve. And so, you know, I think something to get comfortable with is sort of the fluidity or the spontaneity of the situation. And you constantly have to find ways to adjust. And so I think what's important is for any leader in these kind of, you know, untrialed times is just to pause for a minute and constantly rethink what you're doing. To make sure that you can find the right rhythm for your organization and for your people, right? So where we all started 9 months ago is certainly not where people are today, not personally, not professionally. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to keep a close eye and keep your finger on the pulse on how people are doing at home, at work, and accommodate, you know, any changes that you think will be for the better. So I think constantly pivoting and rethinking and being able to adjust, staying agile, I think is extremely important now.
Is there technology? You mentioned some of the things that you're using as a company. Anything personally that you're using that you find it's making you more efficient or effective as far as in your career?
Yeah, I certainly would never call myself a tech person, but I very much enjoy, for example, Microsoft Teams, in a sense that it allows you to just have very sort of real life chats with each team member, with your groups. We can quickly call each other. It's almost like a FaceTime for work. Mm-hmm. So that one I've really much enjoyed. It's very uncomplicated and very easy to use. So.
Books that you're reading or that you recommend to other leaders, anything come to the top of your mind as far as that that we should be aware of?
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of reading books, but my reading these days are pretty much limited to kids' stories. So
Right.
So having said that, I think there's so much to learn and to cherish, even as an adult, from kids' books. In fact, my kids and I just started to read Roald Dahl's books, one of my favorite writers, because all of his stories really are about expanding your imagination, right? And And I still think that is the foundation of any successful company is a vision. So that's one. And then actually not so long ago, I finished reading Richard Branson's book, Finding My Virginity. And I love success stories. I love good storytelling. And he's someone who's publicly stated he's dyslexic, but I would say, in my opinion, he's mastered penmanship. Sorry for that.
That's right.
And again, I think his humor is just uncanny. And I think it's a great trait for leaders.
So is you're trying to manage a number of different things with your family and your career. What do you do to recharge when you're not working?
Yeah. To recharge, I really need to clear my mind. So for me, generally, that's lacing up my shoes and working out or going on a run, not just as stress relief, but also because I want to plan to chase after my kids and my kids' kids for many more decades to come. So, and then when I can, I just try to free up weekends to make my kids and also my husband feel that they are and they're going to always be my everything. So those are the things I do.
So having moved from Belgium to the U.S., it sounds like you've definitely have adjusted to U.S. life. Anything you miss about living in Belgium?
Yes. I mean, it's been so long ago now, but my family is still back there. And so in a COVID environment, it makes it really challenging, right? So, you know, flying to Europe right now is certainly out of the question. So it's the family.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what you mentioned the mentors that you've had in life and the importance of that. As far as giving back to others, and it sounds like I'd love for you to share a little bit more about the nonprofit that you're a part of and just kind of the mission and the work that you're doing. But how important is it for someone in their career just to not only be getting advice and mentoring, but also to give back as far as in nonprofits and serving on boards and that type of thing? Your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's something I realized along the way that I was missing that balance. You know, when you really get completely immersed in work, it's very easy to have blinders on. And so for me, I came to a point in time where I realized I wanted better balance. I wanted to give back as much as I had received over the course of my career. And so Mission Plásticos and my involvement there was extremely important to me. So I think that it gives you a very, you know, like I said, a balanced perspective on what's important, why are we doing what we are doing, and, you know, make sure that you really retain a global perspective on the sufferings around the world and the basic necessities that many people still don't have. And so I think that it makes me a better business person in the sense that I try to find the right balance between IQ and EQ. It also feeds into my real deep care for the people that I work with. And also it makes me, you know, make sure that I'm also a good mom and that I'm a good wife, you know, when I'm not at work. So I think it gives you a great amount of perspective that is easy to lose when you become so immersed in your job.
So how would somebody learn more about that nonprofit and the work that they're doing and maybe get involved in giving?
It's Mission Plásticos is the organization. So very easy to find. And for anyone who has spare time, wants to give monetary support or their time, we're always looking for people who can do administrative work or to help organize missions. We're looking for surgeons, anesthesiologists, nurses who are willing to go on missions to remote places around the world. So there's never a shortage of people or time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've talked to a number of people that have gone on some of those missions and they said it's life-changing and just the ability to be a part of improving somebody's life is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So what parting advice would you give a new or up and coming leader?
Yeah, I think one piece of advice I received, and I've clung on to that for dear life, and I would say, you know, that's great parting advice for anyone else, is I had one of my mentors tell me early on that, you know, be comfortable being a foreigner, but never be a tourist. And so, meaning you may not know many areas, but never skim the surface as you get exposed to things. So go deep, ask the right questions, and never assume you know something after a short stint of carrying a title. And then another maybe parting advice is, I know that we all have our unique DNA, but in business, one of the things I've realized over time is that some of the people that I really thought were exceptional leaders, they always seem to have these three common traits. And what I've sort of observed, you know, whether it's the right observation or not, but most great leaders seem to be very focused, very fair, and also fun. And I really try to live by this at work and at home. So that's certainly something that that I think is valuable.
Great. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking with you today, and definitely appreciate your thoughts. And know this will be helpful for those that are in their first leadership positions, as well as others that are further along in their careers. And wish you continued success with your work, as well as your family raising three girls. And yeah. Definitely look forward to seeing what your company is doing in your next stage.
Oh, many thanks. And it was a pleasure being on.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader. Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.